Do you remember when our local general stores or bait shops would host a Guess the Date of Ice Out betting pool?
This year, Ice In on Lake Winnipesaukee wasn't even declared until February 9th, the latest date on record. And Ice Out was the earliest ever on March 17th. That's less than 6 weeks frozen.
It makes me wonder, how does ice benefit our lakes? I'm Dave Anderson with the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin with New Hampshire Audubon. And this is Something Wild. To begin with, it's really kind of miraculous how ice forms. Andrea Lamoureux, who's the president of the New Hampshire Lakes Association and an aquatic biologist, explains it like this.
So at 39 degrees, the water molecules actually spread apart. And so that layer of water on the top of the lake, which is around 39 degrees, it becomes less dense than the water beneath it, so it floats. And what happens then is the surface keeps getting colder and colder, and at 32 degrees, it forms ice.
That's amazing, because nothing else in nature gets less dense as it freezes. Solids are typically more dense than liquids.
And so life under the ice can continue for fish, plankton, turtles, and frogs, although at a much lower metabolic rate.
If you've ever jumped into a New Hampshire lake, you felt how cold it is at the bottom, but you can find warmer layers at the top. Thanks to lakes freezing in the winter and then melting in the spring, they have a chance to turn over twice a year.
With onset of cold temperatures in the fall, surface waters start to cool, and eventually the temperatures on the top and the bottom of the water equalize, and the lakes start to mix, with water on the bottom coming up and surface water sinking down.
Mixing allows oxygen and nutrients to be distributed evenly, and it creates a seasonal cycle both fall and spring. Ice acts as an insulator, reflecting sunlight, so water at the bottom stays dark and cold. With climate change, we can expect more aquatic plants and longer growing seasons.
Warmer waters favor more invasive plants like milfoil, as well as cyanobacteria.
Formerly called blue-green algae.
A toxic bacteria that's already become a problem in New Hampshire lakes.
But if you've got more algae in plants, aren't they producing more food and oxygen for fish and reptiles? Amy Smagula, a freshwater limnologist.
Someone who studies lakes, Dave.
Works with the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services.
Warm water holds less oxygen. So they could be producing it, but the water is not holding it. So things with gills that need to take oxygen out of the water, like fish, are going to have a hard time getting the oxygen that they need in those systems.
There's a phenomenon known as lake browning as the water column becomes more opaque with suspended organic material. In recent summers, local lake temperatures have been measured as high as 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Just a couple of decades ago, summer high water temps were 72 to 74 degrees. Warmer water with less dissolved oxygen obviously affects amphibians and fish, particularly the trout and salmon that are best adapted to cold northern lakes and streams. Fish also depend on aquatic insects and the intricate seasonal timing of hatch cycles of midges, caddisflies, stoneflies, and mayflies.
Fish that are laying their eggs do hatch in a certain time interval to coincide with hatches to feed different ages and stages of fish could be affected as a result of changes in insect hatches.
Colder temperatures tell migratory waterfowl it's time to fly south, but if aquatic plants have a longer growing season without cold and ice, then ducks and geese might stick around longer.
Canada geese in particular can overload smaller lakes and ponds with nutrient fertilizer.
That's me.
Literally and figuratively, we're skating on thin ice, because ice cover itself is a crucial part of our living lakes. Ice makes it possible to sustain not only the traditional winter ice-based tourism in northern New England, but also supports the plants and animals that depend on our cold lakes and forested watersheds.
While bathwater-like temperatures may make it easier to dive in, it's a sign of a problem. We need to do whatever we can to mitigate these warming waters. Our thanks to Amy Smagula of New Hampshire DES and Andrea Lamoureux of the New Hampshire Lakes Association. Something Wild is a partnership of the Forest Society, New Hampshire Audubon, and NHPR.
Mixing allows oxygen and nutrients to be distributed evenly. Water column, water column, water column.